good day, Elias.
And how are you proceeding, and what shall we discuss?
Well, the first thing I want to talk about, because it seems like more and more things happen, and even like quote-unquote bad or good or whatever, it's just kind of making sense to me by what I'm doing. But there's this, okay, so this one thing, it's a little bit of puzzlement to me, unless it's just the obvious answer. But, so John and I, as you know, got a boat and took our first trip on it, our 2-week trip. It was quite the adventure. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And then on last day, the day before we left, we were going to take it out. John was going to practice docking, and we went to disengage the dock power to put it on generator power, and the AC went crazy. So John and I went to look for a part on the AC. We were going to go fix the AC, or we couldn't find the part. So we realized we're not going to be able to get the AC fixed before we left. And so John went back to get a generator. A dehumidifier. And Lauren and I were going to tape up the windshields with shower curtains, so just to keep the heat out of the boat while we were gone, or help keep the heat out of the boat. So we tape up one shower curtain, tape up this over the first windshield, tape it up over the second one, and then we had the third and final windshield to go. And Elias, my finger just ever so slightly brushed across it, and boom, it exploded. Just exploded. So I kind of sat there in disbelief. Lauren turns the windshield. Yeah. What'd I say?
I don't know.
Oh. So anyway, I can't even comprehend how this happened. And Luke looks up, we're all like looking at it in disbelief, but you know, go start to clean up the mess. But so I'm curious about two things. One, so everything's interconnected and energetically, you know, what we were putting out there to make that happen, and I'm also curious just like physics wise, like the property of physics that we work with. How the hell did that happen? Because we had been pressing on it before and washing it and cleaning it. So I just want to know what you have to say about all that.
From a physics perspective, what I would express to you is that that could have happened from a raindrop. That it would not have actually mattered whether it was your finger or it was a raindrop, or it could have even occurred in relation to wind. That in relation to the physics of the glass and the pressure in relation to the placement of the glass and the restraint of the glass in association with the elements of the air, the water, the salt, all of that combined generates a stress, which you think of glass as being this tremendously hard substance and very durable. And you also think of glass as being very stationary, when in actuality it does move. It does expand and contract very slightly, but enough that in certain situations it can create a stress on the glass very similar to a taut rubber band.
Yeah.
In which, if it has contracted and expanded and contracted and expanded in relation to the environment, the elements, for a considerable time framework, and if there are what you would term to be any imperfections in the glass itself, which would be slight air pockets that you cannot see with your eyes, but that may be in the glass itself, that adds to that physiological condition of the glass itself. And when it is expanding and contracting more and more, and also in relation to the joints and the restraints around it, and the expansion and the contraction of them also, when you combine all of those factors together, it may merely reach a point in which the pressure on the glass at a particular point is so great that any touch, any friction at all, can actually shatter it. And this, as I expressed, at that point, other than your finger, a drop of water could have shattered it also.
Oh, so I'm not that powerful, huh?
Now, in relation to energy and that factor, now, what would you express?
Well, the only thing I, not the only thing I can think of, but what comes to mind, which I kind of figured, so the day before I'd gotten a bladder infection that pretty much had me bedridden for the evening and very exhausted, but I took some medication the next day. I was feeling, you know, not as sick, but obviously low in energy, and it was extremely hot. It was just so hot, it was zapping my energy. And the guys wanted to go out for more docking experience, and which I thought is good because we had Luke around. It was our last day that we could take advantage of Luke's expertise, and but I was just so tired and didn't want to do it. And then that's when the air conditioner fried and we couldn't do it. So I think to myself, you know, maybe that happened so we didn't have to take the boat out. And then so as we went to fix it, and I just know I was so very tired. We're taping up the shower curtains. And I was just simply exhausted. So if I were to think of anything, it would just be just pushing ourselves too hard, is what I would say.
I would agree. I would express that was an excellent example of forcing and pushing, yes. And I would also express that it was an excellent example to both of you in recognizing what you did and not necessarily moving in a direction of being judgmental and discounting of yourselves, and recognizing that you have choices. Therefore, would be an example of what is empowering and what isn't. In a very objective manner.
Huh. Did you get that, honey?
Yeah.
So, what is empowering and what isn't?
Yeah. Not empowering to push.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
When yes. you are pushing and forcing,
it's not empowering.
You generate actions and scenarios that you don't like and that are uncomfortable and that in your perception generally will incur great consequences, and in that it is not empowering. In actuality, when you force and you push, you generally do the opposite. You create some scenario in which you feel helpless.
Yeah, okay. That all makes sense. Very much.
But you also incorporated the example of what is empowering in relation to your responses that obviously being reactive is also not empowering. But if you are not reactive and you are paying attention and you are aware of what you are paying attention to, that you can empower yourself and move in directions that are more intentional.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense to me now. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to talk to Elias about or ask him about?
No, not right now.
Okay. All right. So that actually was kind of the main thing that I wanted to talk about, but oh, I know. Here. Melissa, Leah, had a dream, and she just sent it to me today, so the timing of it all. And she's wondering if it was a projection. And then she says after she rewrote her dream, she thinks it just was a dream. Or just, not just was a dream, but was a dream. But she says she's on a huge roller coaster, very high up and steep, overlooking the green mountain below. Anne is on the ride with me out of view, others too. The ride starts and immediately throws my iPad into the mountain. I need both hands to grip. I wonder if my info will be safe. And she wonders if civilization will find, wondering what this device is. Whoa, this is fast. Relax so you don't lift off as much, someone tells me, and I relax my muscles. Afterward at Mary's, I tell John that I threw my iPad over the side and he cracks up. Anne sends me a video text of her swimming with her son in turquoise blue waters. She is muscular and darkly tanned. Oh, they are here, someone else tells me. I had no idea. Sure, I'm open to joining them. Mary and Donnelly are with me in the kitchen. And then she says, now that I write that out again, she's thinking it is a dream, but she's curious. So one, was that a projection or was that a dream?
A dream.
So it was a dream. And was she, it's interesting, like she had, you know, that with me swimming with my son in waters, you know, that connected with like my son graduating from his OCS and being, you know, happy about me being happy for my son and my son being happy.
Yeah.
And anything else you want to say about that dream?
They continue. You are interpreting well thus far.
Well, a high on a roller. Well, okay, so for Melissa's part, it sounds like, she's high on a roller coaster, like she's entering maybe things that are a little scary for her, but still a little bit thrilling, and letting go, like the iPad. To me, her letting go of the iPad, it is not that is like this security blanket information. Like you need something else to get information, and it's still scary that she can get it, but she can still get her own information. That she's just learning, and that she's at the stage of, or whoever is at the stage of, kind of a stepping into your own, knowing that you can get information on yourself, even though it's still kind of scary. It's also exciting. And being at Mary's place, and John thinking, John's cracking up because obviously John is really good at when stressful things happen, he can make a joke and just relieve the situation, just change the energy of the situation that way. He's very good at that.
Therefore, offering an element of comfort
Yeah.
and reinforcing the aspect of safety and presenting herself with a familiar place and trusted individuals, which also provides that element of comfort and safety, regardless of what may be unknown or unfamiliar, and perhaps somewhat anxiety producing. There is that support and that safety in the interconnectedness, and she uses all of you as her symbols of that.
Oh, very nice. And I guess now I want to, it's interesting because I do feel somewhat tired. But it seems like not a tired from resisting at some time, or stress, although it's still there a little bit, and I know when I do that, but it's kind of like I feel like John and I have been doing a lot of things, the boat ride, we're going a lot of places, and that's fun. I would not want to do that because I enjoy it and I am tired. But then I think about what's going on in the world, especially like with our elections coming up, and I'm listening to it less and less, and I'm almost feeling more disconnected from it less and less, not as an ignoring sense, but I just to listen to the same, it seems like the political arguments and rhetoric going back and forth, it's like, oh my God, we have been there, done that so much. It's just, I can't even listen to it anymore. It doesn't resonate with me. I don't even care what they do anymore. They could just whatever. So I do feel a bit of just wanting to kind of step away from that world and just kind of go on in my own world and just focus on my world, and let that world pass me by, which I realize is ironic, and or not ironic, but I guess just trying to mesh that with, obviously we're not separate. I'm not separate from that. And I guess what I'm feeling overall in all aspects is like there's a lot of turbulence, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I still want to make my movement going forward and doing what I want to do, but there is this level of exhaustion, not to the point where I'm going to stop, but I'm just feeling tired. Is it because I'm like, but I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing.
And what I would suggest is, yes, that you allow yourself to focus on what you are doing and what is important to you. And not focus on the rest. In this, not draining yourself in moving your attention in so many different directions, especially in relation to what you perceive you can actually be involved with or be participating with and what you can't in your perception. It can be very draining to be paying attention and involving yourself with subjects that you perceive you aren't actually directly affecting. Or that you aren't actually directly involved with.
So
therefore, projecting a considerable amount of energy in directions that are, figuratively speaking, blowing in the wind.
Yeah. So this whole thing, like, yeah, and I agree with that. It's like, I kind of, like, I watch the news and these people, it seems like you could get hyped up over something that is so little, of little importance. And what they do, there's a lot of energy being spent on a lot of things that are of such little importance, at least to me. And then, but anyhow, so this whole, like, political thing, what I feel good about, like, because I know you say what I perceive as having little influence, and obviously I would perceive that I don't have influence to change the course of, you know, the election or whatever like that on one level. But then on this other level, I feel very comfortable and I feel good about saying, well, you know what, this is what I can do. Like I am tired of the old attitude. Can you shut the door? The attitude of, okay, we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils. That's the way, since as far as I can remember in this life, that's the way people vote. That's the way you're told to vote. Well, we hate both candidates, but we have to vote for the lesser of the two evils, or the one you really hate will get in. Well, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to vote for somebody I don't want to vote for. I'll write a name in, and as the common theory or a very common belief would be, well, to write a name in is throwing your vote away. Well, it feels very good to me to say, I don't care. I want to write it in because I'm only going to do what I want to do, or I'm only going to cast a vote for someone I want to cast a vote for. That feels very empowering to me.
And I would express, it is not throwing your vote away. It is expressing yourself in a genuine manner. It is not a matter of your vote only counts if you win. No. Your vote counts in every direction. Therefore, in that, you're not throwing it away. Regardless of whether you choose to affiliate yourself with a particular political party or not, your vote matters, you matter, and your expression matters. And in that, whatever you choose in relation to your vote, it expresses an impact, not only in relation to who wins.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you vote with the perspective of the lesser of two evils, what type of impact are you generating? Regardless of who wins or who loses, it matters not. What type of energy are you projecting in that type of perception and perspective? You are essentially expressing that you are powerless.
Yeah.
And that you don't matter. And that is what you are rippling.
Yeah.
I would express that it is more empowering to generate that action of voting with passion and be voting for the loser than to be engaging that action of voting from the perspective of the lesser of two evils and be disempowering yourself entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that feeling. And I guess the empowering feeling. And there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. And I know that the days of voting for something I don't want, I mean, those are behind me.
Congratulations. I would express that that is excellent. And I would say to you that none of this is an accident. All of it is purposeful. I would say to you that both of your main candidates are serving a significant purpose presently in expressing a type of example that is encouraging individuals to pay attention to themselves and to express themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's very obvious because, no one ever seemed that people always hate and love candidates, but I've run across more people who don't like either candidate and really it's distasteful to them to vote for either candidate. I've never seen this widespread before, so.
I would agree. I would express that this particular election has stirred quite a bit of passion in most individuals, not only in your country, but throughout your world.
Yeah.
And I say to you, your world is watching.
Yeah.
And in that, it is very much so a different arena than it has been pastly. But in that very different arena, it is presenting a very strong message about the significance of the individual, and another very strong message in relation to the disempowerment of government.
You know, and I just had this thought right now that when you were saying that it's purposeful, these two candidates. If Bernie, who many people really loved, is probably the one candidate that I think a lot of people really would have voted for. But if he would have got on the ticket, that would have just kind of reinforced this same system. And by him not getting on the ticket, he is, that's reinforcing how our system is outdated, or our system is not or helpful for the individual. I mean, it's probably more beneficial, depending on how you look at it, that he didn't get on the ticket in a way.
I would agree.
Wow. Yeah, that just made sense to me. Well, of course you pointed it out, but hey. Wow. So it is more empowering. And I get that. I feel that. I feel like, you know, I'm going to do what I want regardless of who is on the ticket. I'm going to do what I want because that's what I want to do. And it's how empowering is to say, I'm going to do what I want, whether or not they win or not. I'm going to do what I want because that's what I want to do, period.
And because you can.
And because I can. Oh, yeah. I can do what I want. And it doesn't matter the outcome. The outcome is not as important as the action of doing what you want.
Correct. And in that, the point is that you express yourself. The point is that you value yourself as an individual, that you are not being dictated to by a government body.
Yeah.
That the power of the government body is depleting.
Yeah. Which makes me happy. My goodness. So interesting, thinking of the power of the government body. I still have. So I got this letter. I mean, it's not really that big of a deal from the IRS saying that I didn't declare. There's like some money that they say I didn't declare. And the whole process is so confusing to me. It looks like we declared it. Anyhow, so obviously I'm sending it to the guy who does our taxes to sort out. But it does bring up, and not so much that it's paralyzing to me, and not so much anxiety or whatever, it just brings up into my awareness more of feelings that I have or beliefs that I have. Like, all right, first of all, a little bit of irritation that the tax codes are so complex that I would need, that you need to pay someone to do them for you. And then it brings up, but then again, the flip side of that is, boy, I am appreciative that I've found someone who is really easy to work with, and I like working with them, and I get along with him and his whole outlook on life. And he has done, given me some very helpful advice over the way. But they also, then I think about, you know, having to pay taxes, you know, my belief that I have to pay taxes. And yeah, I know from a standpoint, I don't have to pay taxes. I know that is a choice I don't have to, but it's a choice I'm making to pay them because right now it's easier for, I believe it's the easier avenue for me to pay them than to go up and quote unquote fight the system, even if it's getting weaker. I just don't, I don't want to have to put my energy into, you know, it's just easier to pay your taxes at this point.
So, I'm understanding, and it is merely a choice.
So, yeah, but that's interesting. So obviously I still have these beliefs or what, I mean, I guess to me, it's just kind of like a dance, or it's just, I mean, you're not going to flip a switch and everything is going to be one way or the other. It's just like movements into this, movements into that. And what to me, when I make my choice more doing what I want to do, it's like, what is the easiest way for me to do it? And what does make me feel empowered? Like voting that the way I want to vote is going to make me feel empowered for me to say, okay, I'm not going to pay taxes anymore, I still think I would have a great enough amount of fear about that that wouldn't feel empowering.
Correct. And what is significant is that you know that.
Yeah.
Meaning, what is significant is that you allow yourself to move in the direction of your guidelines, which will move you in the direction that is the easiest and most comfortable for you. And that you are aware that you are choosing it intentionally.
Yeah.
You are not merely generating action automatically because that is what you have been taught and you blindly accept it.
Right.
But that you are aware that these are choices, and you are aware also of the factors that you agree with and the factors that you don't agree with, but you are objectively aware of generating certain choices because it is easier and you are more comfortable with them.
Yeah. And
I would express that in itself is tremendous. There are so many individuals that this particular subject could be applied to in relation to healing.
Yeah.
Which they may not agree with certain medical practices, but in relation to what they believe, it would be easier and equally as effective for them to move in a direction of engaging that direction for the purpose of healing, but they generate this struggle and fight with themselves. So therefore, the conflict becomes the inner conflict, not the outer conflict, in relation to fighting against what they believe in favor of what they agree with. But what you agree with or disagree with is not always the same as what you believe. You may not agree with the institution of taxes and what they are used for. You may not agree with that expression of paying taxes. But what you believe may be that it is uncomfortable or dangerous not to comply with that. And therefore, it is easier to generate an intentional choice, for you weigh the importance within yourself. What is more important to you? That you express an outward conflict or challenge, or that you express an inward conflict or challenge? And in that, you evaluate which is more important to you. And then you allow yourself to generate that choice. In this, what most individuals don't quite understand yet is that what you believe is a design of constructs. And in actuality, it matters not. But in another capacity, it does matter. For what you believe, you trust. And in that, a principle that you agree with or that you disagree with, you may interpret a strong opinion about, but what you believe is likely to be much more affecting of you personally. Therefore, in that you may be of the opinion of disagreeing with an institution such as the Internal Revenue Service and disagreeing with taxes. But in that, it may be more important to you to comply with that rule and be comfortable than to not comply with that rule and generate conflict within yourself.
Yeah.
Or fear.
Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense with me. And I also kind of look at it as like a process. Like maybe if I don't agree with someone, I might not want to choose to pay taxes one day, but I'm only going to do that when I feel comfortable. Or like I know regarding my body and my health, there's sometimes when I've felt sick and I like to play around with, going to like one exercise I do, I'll go to a place in my body that doesn't feel ill or certain. I'll like stay there a little bit. And I know I've kind of like quote unquote healed myself by doing that. And, so I play around with that, but then I know there's times like when I got this, infection on the trip, I felt horrible. And I thought, I don't even have the energy or desire. I thought, I'm going to go get me some antibiotics because I trust that. I believe that. And I know that's going to work. But the more I develop so what I'm doing is when I feel that I don't feel like it's too much for me to quote unquote heal myself instantly or heal myself without doctors or whatever, then I play around with that and I practice that. And my thinking is the more I do that, then the more my belief and my trust will start to shift to me doing it in that method versus me doing it through the doctor method.
I would agree. But what I would express is, in actuality, somewhat more important is that you are observing each situation individually for what it is. And allowing yourself to address it in the moment in what is most comfortable for you in the moment. Therefore, not being absolute.
Actually, that makes sense. And that's true. And if I think about it, like me saying, oh, I'm going to heal myself or whatever, on like we've talked about this before too, me going to the doctor and taking antibiotics is me healing myself too.
Yeah.
So
it all
is.
It is merely a different method.
And it's me choosing which method.
Whatever direction you choose,
yeah.
Whatever method you choose, it is all you that is actually generating the healing and altering the condition. There are merely different methods, and one method is not better than another method.
Yeah,
they are all methods.
Yeah.
In this, it is more a matter of what you trust and what is genuinely significant in what you have been expressing is that allowance of yourself to engage each situation individually for what it is in the moment and what your perspective is in the moment and what you feel in the moment. In that, you're not being absolute in any direction. You are allowing yourself to listen to yourself in each situation and allowing yourself to move in what is the most comfortable direction for you in that particular situation. And another point in this is the factor that regardless of what the situation is and whether you are feeling and experiencing being ill or not, that you're not necessarily looking at the situation as bad.
Yeah.
That it may be uncomfortable, but you are no longer moving in that other absolute and black and white direction of what is good and what is bad. That you are ill and therefore that is bad, or you are not ill and that is good. You are more moving in the direction of loosening that perception and recognizing it is not as much a matter of the good and bad, but rather the comfortable and uncomfortable, and addressing to the situation in the moment as it is, in relation to whatever is important to you at that time.
Yeah, so actually,
some individuals, as you are aware, in the moment, they may be uncomfortable and may actually choose that instead of being more comfortable for their own reasons. But individuals do incorporate moments in which they may not necessarily choose to incorporate the more comfortable direction or healing, and they may choose to engage being uncomfortable, and it may provide them with what they actually want in that particular time framework. Knowing that none of it is actually good or bad.
So thank you. You just added a little bit of clarity, or helped me with a little bit of clarity in what I was doing, and maybe what the way I want to do it is. So thinking, oh, I don't want to be sick, trying to figure out ways to maybe in the future, because I was thinking, oh, in the future, I want to be able to heal myself without doctors or medicine or whatever. But then, so I, from what you just told me, I just realized that that is not being present. I was putting myself in the future. So when I am just, I like that. And also the great thing about what you just said was I really don't need to know anything more. I don't need to know how to try to do it. I don't need to try to do anything. I don't need to know more. I just, everything in the present moment, it's what's going on in the present. I just got that on another little level. How, yeah. So thank you for that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Well, there was a little journey with you, and I feel like I got a little bit more clarity on that. So thank you. And a little less that I need to worry about, and a little more easy way to live life, which we know that's my mantra. Easy does it. Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you. So we named our boat Easy Does It, Elias.
Ah, quite appropriate. I would express that is quite expressive of both of you.
So, yeah, thank you. So I also actually remembered, so on the boat ride with us came Luke and Lauren, and Lauren and I resonated a lot. We had a lot of talk about and just, you know, our life philosophies and the way we think about life and stuff. And I told her a little, you know, that I did tell her and Luke, because they're open to it, that, you know, I talked with this entity called Elias and such and a little bit. And then the next day, and I can't remember, it was either her or Luke, but one of them had a dream with you in it. Were you connecting with them in that dream?
Yes.
So I kind of feel that, you know, obviously we're all interconnected, but we resonate with different things more. I kind of feel like they are like, you know, how I feel like you're connected with John, and more so than like you were connected with Pat, my past boyfriend. I kind of feel like, and so in that same feeling area, I don't really know the words to express it. I feel like you kind of have this connection with Luke and Lauren too. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
And what is it that I'm trying, do you know what, can you help me with words, what I'm trying to say with this? Because I get confused sometimes when I'm like, okay, we're all connected, we're all one, but obviously, like, I really resonate with you. I mean, I feel very connected to you, more so than I might feel connected to maybe even some other channeled things. What is that? Why is it, what is that? What's going on? Or help me put words to what I'm thinking, if you can.
I would express that in very simple terms. It is preference that is generated in relation to what you resonate with more or stronger. You are drawn to like or similar energies. In this is what I was expressing to all of you in our group interaction in association with relationships and communications, in what you naturally do. Yes, I express a tremendous emphasis on acceptance, but acceptance does not mean that you choose to be interactive with everyone or that you generate a relationship with everyone. Yes, you are all interconnected, but you all are also individuals and unique. And in that, in your individuality, you do resonate more with some individuals than others. You interpret similarities and commonalities with some individuals more than other individuals, which allows you to generate relationships with different individuals. You do not generate objective relationships with everyone in your world. Yes, you are interconnected with everyone in your world, but that is different from choosing relationships and choosing whom you interact with. Interacting and generating relationships in an objective capacity is a choice, and that choice is, or should be, based upon your resonance, your commonalities with other individuals, what you share with other individuals in an objective capacity, and whether that sharing complements you and encourages you. That is the point of relationships in an objective capacity, that you choose relationships that will encourage you, that will nurture you, which is the expression of encouraging you to grow, and that will validate you for objectively within physical focus. Validation is a very important part of your existence. It aids you in moving in the direction of your own remembrance. Therefore, the difference between being interconnected and acceptance of all other expressions and relationships is an objective difference. It is the difference between who you choose to engage and involve yourself with and invest yourself with.
All right, well, thank you.
Therefore, you are drawn to some individuals and not drawn to others.
And you just trust that. I mean, I would. Who you're drawn to is probably who's most going to benefit you at that time.
In different capacities, yes.
Yeah, because some people supposedly are drawn to people that what we would say aren't healthy for them, but maybe in a way, I mean, I don't know.
In moments or in a time framework, it likely would be a benefit to them.
Yeah.
That is the piece in which being present and self-empowering comes into play and is very important. That you can discern. Some individuals you may be drawn to, but are much more temporary than other individuals.
Yeah. All right, well, that's that we could go on that subject for a while, so. But our time is over. Once again, enjoyed talking with you, and it was very helpful. And a thank you. I appreciate it very much.
You are very welcome. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting. And I express tremendous congratulations to you and what you have been accomplishing.
Thank you very much.
Well done. I express tremendous encouragement to you, my friend. Until our next meeting, in wondrous affection and glorious lovingness to you, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.